The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of our Lord. General George S. Patton is probably one of our country's best-known military commanders, or one of them. Old blood and guts, known also for his rough edges, survived the 4 years of World War II, the years of war, only to die after a car accident at the end of the war while in Luxembourg, where he still was stationed. He never returned home. He's buried in Luxembourg in an American cemetery. The American war dead in Europe from World War II were buried in cemeteries in France, in Belgium, and in Luxembourg. And my husband and I and family had the privilege of living 2 years in what was then West Germany in the mid-80s, and we visited Luxembourg. And we went to this very cemetery, which is quite an emotional experience, to see the graves of not only Patton, but more than 5,000 other Americans buried on foreign soil, sacrificing their lives for the freedom of others. That's sacrificial living, sacrificial dying. And this Memorial Weekend, we are called to remember them and the veterans of all the wars and their families and throughout our history of our country. And remember them we will on this very sacred day in this sacred place. Today, here, we are also called to remember something else, the Trinity. And the sacrificial caring and loving and giving by the one who is much greater than we can ever fathom or imagine, the one we call God, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, our namesake here at the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Holy Trinity. Some would say that this is the only Sunday of the church year where instead of Bible stories as our scripture readings, we have a doctrine, and we call it the doctrine of the Trinity. Our Jewish roots affirm their and our most basic belief, which is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. But for us as Christians, we believe God is made known to us in three distinct ways, and we call those ways Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, something our church ancestors wrestled with and came to affirm in creeds that we speak two more than the third, the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene, and the third is the Athanasian, which is also in our hymnal in the front. I would argue that a major point of Trinity Sunday is not an attempt to explain the mystery, but to recognize in our heart of hearts that God the Father chose to get close, intimate, personal, relational with us through his Son coming to earth, and that God the Father continues even today to want to be in relationship to us, a people of faith, and does so with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit which John, the writer of the Gospel of John, calls the Spirit of Truth. Walter Bowman was a beloved seminary professor at Trinity Seminary, one of Pastor Mentzer's professors and dear friends. And he wrote in a book called We Believe, the Trinity is meant to give us great comfort. Why is that? And he says this, it's because we have comfort by knowing God is not distant, God is not apathetic, but God is close to us. He says so beautifully, there is no place so lonely, no situation so hopeless, no feeling so abandoned that God does not embrace it and encompass it. So what does that mean for us? Let me propose one answer, and that would be to put away our cell phones, turn off our TV, put away Facebook and Twitter, cut back our to-do list, and take time to be in conversation with God and to listen. Today I'd like to speak to three areas of life where God, the Trinity, continually seeks a connection with us. There's the connection of the Trinity with us in person, you and me personally. There's a connection of the Trinity with the church. And finally, the connection of the Trinity that the Trinity desires with the world. First, the connection of the Trinity, the triune God, with you and me personally. Years ago, I became fascinated with what are the questions in the Bible? And I wanted to know what was the very first question God asked in the Bible. And I looked, of course, to Genesis. And the very first question that God asked is, where are you? Where are you? And this is in relation, of course, to Adam and Eve and their sin and disconnecting themselves, hiding in fear and shame and guilt, a disconnection from relationship with God. And did you notice that the whole rest of the scripture is telling us God's story of his establishing his plan, his desire to be reconnected to us through Jesus Christ and through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit? Where are you? I like to add, where are you in relationship to me, as a question God is asking? Where are you in relationship to me? It's a question for each of us, pure and simple, or rather pure and complex. Scripture gives us lots of examples of God's yearning for relationship with us. The prophet Jeremiah writes, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you." And another, the psalmist in Psalm 139, "O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar." And there's no question that I could spend the whole rest of the day reciting to you other scripture passages of God's desire to be in relationship to us. I noticed in my bookshelf at home a book entitled The Me Nobody Knows. And it's about teen survivors of sexual abuse. The title intrigued me. The title refers to things, of course, that are secret. And maybe it's the abuse that the teenagers suffered in their own homes, or maybe it's the abuse that maybe some of us have caused to others in some way. Maybe it's even war stories that veterans in their 80s perhaps have never shared with anyone. Or maybe it's things in the past we're ashamed of or feel guilty about, or so many possibilities. But these are all lumped into the category of things we believe will keep God away from us. But Paul tells us in the 5th chapter of Romans that we read that we are justified. We Lutherans love this as the core of our theology. We are justified or made right or reconnected to God by faith. Romans says through Paul, that's what gives us peace. That's what gives us hope, even in suffering. Because, and here comes the Trinity, God's love, made known through Christ, is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. God's love, made known through Christ, is poured out in our hearts today through the Holy Spirit. The Trinity rings again. Even the faith that we need to believe this is given to us by God. So listen again to poetic language from the Bible, this time from Isaiah 43. This is what the Lord says. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. God speaks today and says through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I know you. I know all your fears, your disappointments, your loneliness, your grieving, all your junk. And still, I want to be in your life. In addition to the Trinity seeking relationship with you and me on a personal level, the triune God seeks relationship with the church, God's creation. Pentecost, which we celebrated last week, reminds us of the birthing of the church, the pouring out of the Spirit on all who were in Jerusalem, how thousands followed by being baptized. Baptism, one of our sacraments, is an example of how God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is at work today in us and still speaks to us today. How special it was at the early service that a little two-month-old who cried the entire time was baptized. He didn't have a clue what was going on. He couldn't bring a thing to his baptism. But that's part of the beauty of our theology. That's one of the things we believe, that entering God's family is not by anything we do, but what God does for us. Everything, we are the receivers. Everything about baptism we have received. We've received, as Brady received, the gift this morning of the Holy Spirit, the gift of grace, the gift of a family of faith, us, the gift of a name, child of God. He was marked with the cross of Christ forever. This brings really to my mind one of my favorite Bible verses, which is 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? What do you have that you did not receive? And our gift and our responsibility to Brady and to each other in response to God's gift is to join his family in support of his Christian walk and upbringing, so that he can know he is a part of a faith family. He is not to walk this journey alone or isolated, and neither are any of us. This truly is something to celebrate, our God's creation of a community of faith, a church. So, baptism connects Brady and his family to us, and it connects all of us to the Trinity. Holy Communion, another example of the Trinity at work in us today. It is not just about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person we say of the Trinity. Let us remember when we receive the bread and the wine and hear the words of Christ, let us remember that the words Jesus spoke and the things, all things that he did, were only what God commanded him to say and do in his obedience to God. Let us remember in the bread and in the wine, we not only acknowledge the presence of Jesus Christ with us, but also the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Meet me at the altar rail, God says, and listen. Listen to what I may be bringing to your heart this very day as God continues his conversation with us. So baptism, Holy Communion, the word proclaimed, the music, the prayers, the hymns sung, your quiet moments with God in your own soul, in your own spirit, in worship. These are all part of ongoing conversation God has with us in this community of faith, the church. And when Pastor Mentzer and I, a couple weeks ago, shared about sacrificial living and the things we felt that God placed on our hearts to give up so that the work of the ministry of this church can go forward, our prayer was and is that you pray about this, that you are in continual conversation with God about this, what God lays on your heart regarding sacrificial living, having an ongoing conversation with the one who created ministry, who created the church. And so the Holy Trinity not only seeks an ongoing relationship with you and I personally and with his church, but also with the world that God created. There was an Italian composer named Puccini who wrote many operas, including Madame Butterfly. When he was in his 60s, he was diagnosed with throat cancer and shortly died after that. He left an unfinished opera, Turandot. Missing were the last two scenes of this opera. So when Toscanini conducted the premier performance of this opera, it was 1926, almost 2 years after Puccini's death. It was in front of a sold-out crowd. And when the performance reached the point where Puccini had completed the score, Toscanini stopped the orchestra. He turned to the audience and he said, "Here the opera finishes, because at this point, the maestro died. At this point, the maestro put down his pen." Some record that Toscanini, then he picked up his baton again, turned to the audience and announced, "But his disciples finished his work. But his disciples finished his work." And the opera closed with thunderous applause. My fellow disciples, Memorial Day, we remember the fallen for us. Trinity Sunday, we remember the risen Christ, Father God, and the Holy Spirit who calls us even now to continue God's work on this earth. So listen, listen. What may our triune God be saying to you in this time, in this place, in your life? Could it be? Call waiting. Amen.